Anwar drilled out of the House budget bill.
The Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From American Public Media in Los Angeles, I'm Scott Jagow. It's one of the commandments of lawmaking, compromise. House leaders saw their $54 billion budget cutting bill in jeopardy, so late yesterday they bailed on the controversial plan to drill for oil in Anwar, the Alaskan wildlife refuge. Could be a huge victory for environmentalists and a major setback for the president, who's made Anwar a top energy priority. But the debate isn't over. The Senate still has Anwar drilling in its version of the budget bill. Delta was hoping to squeeze $325 million out of their pilots, but the pilots' union says $91 million a year will be quite enough, thank you. The bankrupt airline is hoping to slash labor costs in reorganization, but the pilots reminded Delta that rejecting their contract would give them the right to strike. As Bob Moon reports, the airline unveils its latest financial picture today.
The country's third largest airline pushed release of its latest results back by a day, explaining that its recent bankruptcy filing significantly affected its planned disclosures. Industry consultant Michael Boyd thinks that's important to keep in mind. He says Delta has been making the right moves and its current plight may not be as bad as today's report suggests.
The first numbers in a bankruptcy filing, they're going to dump everything but the kitchen sink in there. So it's going to look ghastly and terrible. We got to look beyond that and say, where's their revenue, where's their cost? I think they're going in the right direction.
For example, Boyd applauds yesterday's opening of a Delta sales office in Beijing. The carrier plans to start service to China soon.
That's critical for the future, because if an airline is not connected to China, you're not connected to the revenue flows of the future.
Delta is also trying to get its union pilots to agree to $325 million in concessions beyond the annual $1 billion the pilots already agreed to give up. I'm Bob Moon for Marketplace.
We've talked a lot on this show about the housing bubble. That market's expected to take a hit as interest rates climb and people are less inclined to take on a mortgage. It's also sparked demand for a new kind of investment. Stacey Vanek-Smith reports.
The housing market bubble could have a silver lining. That is, if you have the cash and the courage for the futures market. The Chicago Mercantile Exchange is debuting housing price futures this spring, a number to be tallied using median home prices in 10 U.S. cities. It's being touted as a way for mortgage lenders, home builders, and homeowners to come out ahead if the market tanks. UCLA Business School professor Walter Torres.
The thought has been that there should be a product available in the marketplace that will allow people to hedge or protect themselves against any subsequent decline in housing prices.
Still, Torres predicts speculators will do most of the buying. After all, mortgage lenders typically hand their loans and the risk over to government agencies like Fannie Mae, and individual homeowners aren't likely to brave the notoriously risky futures market. I'm Stacey Vanek-Smith for Marketplace.
Underage kids aren't supposed to see R-rated movies, and soon a new rating system won't let them sneak that material on their cell phones either. Cell phone providers said this week they'll start a new rating system for videos, music, and games, just like movies. Oil hit its lowest level in 3 months, and investors liked it, at least a little. The Dow finished up 6 points to 10,546. The S&P 500 climbed 2 points. The Nasdaq ended the day 3 points higher at 2175. This is Marketplace. One company cleaned up in an IPO yesterday. Its stock surged nearly 20%. Marketplace's Lisa Napoli tells us about the iRobot.
The great brains behind iRobot toiled away for more than 15 years creating military bots that defuse bombs and search caves for rogue terrorists. Then they came up with their crowning achievement, the floor-sweeping vacuum sensation called the Roomba. It doesn't take a PhD in robotics to explain why this self-propelled dirt gobbler accounts for more than half of the company's revenue. Nina Buck of Strategy Analytics.
What they did was take the ideas and package it into a product the consumer understands.
And what robotics watchers understand is that iRobot's stock success is a clean sweep for an industry that's relied mostly on military contracts and venture capital cash. I'm Lisa Napoli for Marketplace.
Which is produced and distributed by American Public Media.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Mellon Financial Corporation, helping financially successful individuals and families protect and maximize their assets through the practice of wealth management. Mellon.com. And by Toyota, designing vehicles with hybrid synergy drive for fuel efficiency and low emissions. More at Toyota.com. Toyota, moving forward. Market data and news brought to you by Reuters. The facts without spin, as they happen. Reuters helps you stay in the know now.
This is Marketplace. I'm Scott Jagow. They may have been something of kabuki theater, the Senate energy price hearings yesterday. Congress demanded answers from oil executives about record profits, but most agree lawmakers are unlikely to slap a windfall tax on those billions. Finance expert Chris Farrell says they shouldn't, but that doesn't mean Congress should do nothing. He says gouging and prices aren't the problem.
I think there are some gas stations and some gas station owners that did gouge their consumers. And frankly, I think in a lot of states, the state attorney generals are dealing with that situation. As far as the price mechanism, it's working. The price mechanism has shifted the way that Americans drive. It shifted what cars Americans are buying. And we've had no disruption of supply. So I'm fine with it. No problem. And I don't think there should be a windfall profits tax. But the 2005 energy bill showered billions and billions of dollars in subsidies to the energy industry. Now, my question is, why? This is an industry that's making money hand over fist. This is an industry that's before Congress saying that the free market works.
Why do you think that the oil companies shouldn't be imposed with a windfall tax?
There are a couple of reasons. Every industry ends up with windfall profits at some point. A lot of individuals who happened to buy a home in 2000 and sold the home in 2005, have they enjoyed a windfall profit? Would you like to tax that away from them?
Some people would.
Some people would, but I don't think that that's what you want to be doing. And it is extremely complicated. Well, what is a windfall profit? What is a normal profit? So I say, forget the windfall profits tax. We tried that in the early 1980s. It was a mistake. It was a terrible tax. It was a terrible law. And on a very practical level, windfall profits tax will backfire.
Well, at these hearings, the companies say that a tax would dampen their enthusiasm to invest in refineries and in exploration. But are they going to take this money and use it for that?
Well, that's what really concerns me. I don't get a sense that the oil companies are going to use this money to look for new supply and be aggressive about new supply. In a sense, the way the oil companies are behaving, it suggests that they really believe this is a temporary price increase. If they thought this was a long-term price increase, boy, they would be reinvesting that money like crazy. Instead, they're returning it to shareholders in terms of dividends, and they're trying to maintain their fields. But there doesn't seem to be a whole lot of enthusiasm for the basic business. The other scenario is that they really believe the peak oil theory, that we are in a downward slope in terms of finding new oil, and that it's basically a waste of money to be very aggressive about trying to find new oil. So the best use of their money is not to reinvest it in the oil business, but to return the money to shareholders.
Chris Farrell is economics editor for our weekend program, Marketplace Money. In Los Angeles, I'm Scott Jagow. Thanks for tuning in.
American Public Media.
You know, it's true.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.